أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها النبي إذا طلقتم النساء فطلقوهن لعدتهن وأحصوا العدة واتقوا الله ربكم لا تخرجوهن من بيوتهن ولا يخرجن إلا أن يأتين بفاحشة مبينة وتلك حدود الله ومن يتعد حدود الله فقد ظلم نفسه لا تدري لعل الله يحدث بعد ذلك أمرا صدق الله العظيم. These are the opening ayat of Surah At-Talaq. It was revealed to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina after the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The surah deals with the laws of talaq and the different aspects that are related to talaq, like iddat, etc. One or two important aspects with regards to this, that when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had given this ummah a sharia, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had given this ummah the best of all the sharias. In this ummah, insofar as nikah is concerned, it is just not a mere contract, but it is a very sacred and sanctified contract, a contract in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had taken into consideration the rights of both husbands and wives. Similarly, when that contract has to come to an end because of discord or because of misunderstandings or because of husband and wife not being compatible, then also Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had showed the best way out. And hence we will find that this is not a contract like a mere buying and selling of a commodity or the loaning of money. That is also within the confines of the sharia, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has spoken about it in the Quran Sharif. But when we look at nikah and we look at talaq, and we compare it to business, dealings, transactions, etc., we will find that insofar as nikah and talaq is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken about the fundamentals of it, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has gone into great detail insofar as the subsidiary masail of nikah and talaq is concerned, to give this ummah the very, very important impression of the importance of it, the sacredness of it. The second aspect of it is that when, unfortunately, every other means had been tried between both the spouses to reconcile and it did not work out, and now when talaq has to be issued, how should that talaq be issued? It is not something that should be violated. It is not something that is issued in anger. But when we look at these ayat and we look at it with an eye of honesty, with an eye of integrity, we will find that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has shown the best way out, that it should be done with a great deal of understanding, it should be done with a great deal of realization, and hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showed us and chalked out the way that how this marriage now should be dissolved by way of talaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nabi, O nabi, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ, that when you people as an ummah, when you have to give talaq, when you have to divorce the woman, فَطَلِّقُوهُنَّ لِعِدَّتِهِنَّ. Number one is this, that you will give them the talaq, لِعِدَّتِهِنَّ, taking the term of the iddat into consideration. Now iddat, we all know the common term, that when a man gives his wife talaq, or when the husband passes on, then there is a waiting period that will take place. We will not go into all the details with regards to this, but just the example of the fact that a man now divorces his wife, she cannot get married to anyone, but she will have to go into this waiting period of iddat. And when a woman is divorced and she is a woman that gets her monthly hayz, then that woman will have to serve the iddat of 3 hayz period. So hence here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the first sabak, the first lesson, that now you should do it in such a manner that you are considerate to the woman that you are going to divorce. Do not divorce her in the period in which she has her hayz, in other words, she is bleeding. Because what would happen? Her iddat is 3 periods, so what will happen is that that 1 period in which you had given her her talaq, that hayz in which you have given her talaq, that obviously will not be counted. And after that period, she has to now become pak, she has to become pure, and then she would have to spend another 3 periods of bleeding, another 3 periods of hayz, before she comes out of her iddat, and that now lengthens that waiting period, or that iddat period. So be considerate in that issue also, that when you give her the talaq, give her the talaq in a period in which she is pak and she is pure. And in the hadith, one portion of the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he said to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, with regards to his son Abdullah ibn Umar, do it in such a pak period in which you have not consummated. You have not met with her with conjugal rights, because obviously if you had done so, the possibility of her becoming pregnant, and then the result will be that she will have to wait right till the end of the pregnancy before she will come out of iddat. And hence in this manner, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala shows us that it is not an issue of anger, it is not an issue of spite like we find in these days, but it is an issue of consideration even when that marriage is becoming dissolved. Wa ahsul idda, and count the iddah period. In other words, one needs to be meticulous, one needs to be 100% sure. It should never happen that a person that becomes negligent insofar as the iddah period is concerned. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ, and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Rabb. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had created you from absolute nothingness. Allah brought you into creation, Allah brought you into being. And then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had considered your situation, your condition in the womb of your mothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustained you. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that nourished you. It is Allah that brought you to this point of perfection. Allah chose this woman for you. You had come into this marriage. Allah Rabbul Izzat had never left your hand. So do not leave the hand of anyone in a manner which will be un-Islamic and against the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا تُخْرِجُوهُنَّ مِن بُيُوتِهِنْ. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the iddat period itself, that now this woman will have to remain, she cannot marry anyone, she has to remain in her home, and hence the family, or husband's family, wife's family, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing everyone, لَا تُخْرِجُوهُنَّ مِن بُيُوتِهِنَّ. Do not expel or remove the woman from their homes, that whilst they are in iddat, remove them and expel them and evict them from that home, but allow them to complete the iddat period. وَلَا يَخْرُجْنَا, and they themselves should not come out of their homes. إِلَّا أَن يَأْتِينَا بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ, except if they approach a fahisha, an indecent act that is absolutely open, an indecent act that is manifest. Here the Mufassireen have explained, one is this, that one possibility, except that she is a woman that is fahisha, a woman that is immodest and she goes out on her own, that she will be responsible for. Or if she is in the home of the husband and she is serving the iddat over there, and she becomes a woman that breaks the law of the shariat, for example, she is very argumentative, people cannot tolerate her, she begins to steal, though she breaks the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any other way, now she has to be moved from one place to the other, then of course there will be some consideration for that. وَتِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ, and that is the hudud, and that is the limitations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the beauty of our shariat, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us laws, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the limitations and the boundaries of those laws in whatever aspect it may be. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ, and whoever exceeds the bounds and the limitations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ, then that person has wronged himself. There is nobody else that is going to suffer the consequences of it. There is nobody else that is going to be wronged but that person himself that breaks the limitations, the boundaries that have been set up by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, whether it is in matters of marriage, whether it is in matters of talaq, whether it is matters of buying or selling, in whatever aspect Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has set down the limitations, and whoever exceeds those limitations is going to wrong himself. لا تدري لعل الله يحدث بعد ذلك أمرا. That you do not know that perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may create a new situation. Now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about another possibility, that a talaq took place, and such a talaq that could be revocable. The husband could take his wife back within the confines of the Shariat. That wife does not know, that husband also may not know, that after all this has happened, that husband may take his wife back within the limits of the Shariat. There will be those types of talaq that will be revocable, that he can take her back without nikah. There are those types of talaq where he will have to make nikah with her, and there are those types of talaq where he cannot do anything unless she gets married to another husband. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best what lies ahead. So whatever happens during the course of the talaq should be done in a manner that is humane, should be done in a manner in which each spouse considers the rights of the other. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.